somewhere in the bowels of the BBC.
Gentlemen, we have a problem. BBC Radio is no longer funny. Well, not deliberately. Not like in the war.
Oh, when I was in France, I lost 3 legs. And a gramophone.
I had my gramophone blown off.
I had my hat blown off.
I had everything blown off.
Is that why you're a woman?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, you tell that to these modern youngsters and they'll just laughing emoji you in your Facebook.
We must hatch a plan to return sound radio to the glories of its hilarious past. Where's that hot new controller of BBC Radio Commodore?
Good evening. How do you do?
Arnold P. Totteridge, you young slip of a thing. What would you do to bring back genuinely offensive, genuinely funny radio comedy?
I seem to recall. I do seem to. Yes, I'm sure if I think hard, I. I thought hard then. The Wonder Show.
The Wonder Show?
Yes, now I come to think of it, which I do, yes, often, yes. I believe it was in Titty I titled, I'm sorry I'm not boring you, am I?
What was it called?
I'm sorry I, haven't a clue.
No
more panel games. I think I'll go and have a lie down. It's tough at the top, you know, and a little bit bendy in the middle. Yes. Good afternoon. Good evening. Oh, good grief.
What we need is a gang of relatively young upstarts who nobody knows to dig up a few old "I'm sorry, I'll read that again" scripts, cut out all the jokes that are rude, offensive or in bad taste.
Then stick them all together to make a best of radio show.
Yeah. Hurrah! Yes, right, well, now that's sorted, we can all leave and let them get on with it. Off we go.
On their way out, they seem to have handed me this picture of a semi-aquatic marine mammal clapping.
Ah, the seal of approval.
Come on, let's do a whole new Wonder Show. And so, the entire nation trembles as it hears once more that dreadful sound. A sound lost in the 20th century, forgotten in the mists of time. A sound that the entire human race hope never, ever to hear again. Yes, it's "I'm sorry, I'll read that again." Again! Approximately 1,800 seconds of japes, pranks, and idiosyncrasies, written by a number of idios and featuring several syncrasies. This celebration brings to the microphone the new voices of Hannah Boydell! Yay! William K.V. Brown! Yay! David Clark! Yay! Barnaby Eaton-Jones! And me, Ben Perkins! Yay! With music from the Farrington Four, who sound like they've just been released from jail. You are about to witness an historic event. How about that? The first time the band have got back from the pub for the start of the show.
Ben, listen. If we're going to take over this show from those famous peeps who did it before, then we need to hear some statements from top BBC officials.
I never touched her.
A likely story.
Never fear. We'll do it by celebrating the opening of a new local radio station instead.
And tonight's local is the Frog and Fiddle in Cheltenham, where the cast of "I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again" again have gathered to mark the first broadcast of Radio Prune Digital.
And now, the Postmaster General will launch the new station in traditional manner by smashing a bottle of champagne on our announcer.
Ow!
Oh, what a terrible thing to do! All that champagne! Wasted!
I rather like being the announcer.
Put your clothes back on.
No, I won't. No. Radio Prune is free radio without inhibitions or censorship, dedicating itself to the promotion of radicalism, liberalism, anti-racialism, and dirty jokes.
In that case, I'm going to take my clothes off as well.
No, 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 Barnaby, leave them on. It's not funny unless you can see it.
Don't try beating it, just keep repeating it. We promise you'll be chuckling soon. Remember totally meaningless, terrapin jokes. Brought to you by Radio Prune.
Now it's digital.
Tune in to Radio Prune.
Put it on your trousers.
Listen to Radio Prune.
Bum.
The situation at noon today was 12 o'clock precisely, and has been getting steadily later throughout the day.
Plus, here's a word for all you dog lovers. Kinky.
Dear Radio Prune, I would like to complain about the contents of your programme, so please broadcast something distasteful. I shall not be happy until I have taken a fence and a gate and a small potting shed. Yours truly, Colonel Walter Wall-Carpeting, Mrs. OBE.
Ah, sweet fragrant memories of dear distant days. Is it just my fancy, or were those childish summers always warmer? Was there always hot cocoa to dispel the dip of frosty morns? And was there every afternoon a passing funeral to throw stones at? And those long winter's evenings in the nursery, playing strip Ludo with Nanny? Dear, dear Nanny, will I ever find a goat like her again? And so inventive too. The nursery, our childhood world with its doll's house and its 00-gauge thumbscrews, wafting from the kitchen that rich, appetizing aroma which told us that cook was roasting another orphan. It seemed a house full of flowers, sweet William, pinks and peonies, love in a mist and Aunt Kate arranging the red-hot pokers under the vicar's fingernails. And that birthday when I was given a kitten and a junior vivisectionist's kit, and those wonderful little corner shops where, for tuppence, I could get a great big bag of rat poison and a rat. And I remember sitting on my granny's knee. It took her hours to find it.
What's the matter? We're trying not to be deliberately offensive. Listeners don't really know who we are yet.
Oh, I've got my name tag sewn into my bra.
Is this going to be a wireless joke?
Might be.
How's about the first audio porno fair, then?
Seriously, Dave? Won't that be offensive?
Absolutely. Roll up, roll up, and roll over! See the naughty Russian contortionists leap in and tear him off as they make love on a dodgem cars. A miss, a kiss, a cuddle, and a compound fracture. See the saucy Polish dwarf Ivan England slide down the outer skelter into an inflatable rubber model of Dolly Parton. See the coconut shy.
Oh, I'm all embarrassed.
See the gay bunting.
Is he allowed to do that in public?
Yes, things appear to be really swinging here at the Prune Audio Porno Fair. This may be due to the nudity. Goodness me, look, not everything stops moving when you do.
Yes, whilst Ben tries to find his place in the script again, I'd just like to make you all aware of this wonderful selection of obscene records here. For the first and only time, we're proud to feature extracts from the My Fair Lady Dirty Songbook.
Audrey Hepburning.
Sexy Rexy Harrison.
Tidy Wilfred Whiteys.
No, that doesn't work.
It does for me.
Now, we here at Radio Prune care deeply about causing offence, so we've removed anything from these songs that sounds slightly suggestive.
Which means it now sounds absolutely filthy.
Warm face, warm hands, warm, oh, wouldn't
heard of. All night and still have begged for more. I could have spread.
I'm going to write to the Queen. Your most royal majesty, that last item made me ashamed to be a member of the British Commonwealth. So, I'm sending you back my order of the garter, which needs new elastic. In exchange, my wife would like a pair of your sensible shoes. Brigadier General Celebrity Bodice, retire.
Dear Brigadier General, on behalf of the BBC, get lost.
Still, he's not wrong. Let's broadcast something nice and high class for a change.
Favourite stories from Shakespeare. There was an Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman. They're having a drink when in walks Kit Marlowe with a stuffed ferret.
Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
You said favourite stories of Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, he loved that one.
I thought you meant stories he wrote.
Oh, he wrote it too. I mean, Shakespeare wrote some of the oldest jokes in the business. Most of them been used in these scripts tonight.
He wrote great tragedies and histories.
No. That's what came down to posterity. Yes, but have you ever seen the original manuscripts?
No.
Well, they're all jokes. I mean, what about all his big hits? Go on, name some.
Julius Caesar.
A naughty farce about Julius and his wandering hands.
Coriolanus.
A man who watches a man. I think they're ahead of me. A man who watches Coronation Street through his bottom.
Hamlet.
Oh, a pig gets set on fire. Well, it was funny back then. Anyway.
Romeo and Juliet.
Julian, years ahead of its time, you know. Yes. And then there was his big election comedy, Love, Labour's Lost. Oh, that one's still going strong to this day.
Okay, well, if you say so. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll laugh till you ache.
Oh, crikey.
It's the breeziest romp since Richard III. It's the funniest comedy of manner since Othello. It's wacky. It's zany. It's kooky. It's Macbeth.
Is Sir Giuseppe Alfalfa Faith Cloverton wearing mainspring fips of pins? And I have nothing to do with this story.
Scene one.
Oh, I've just seen one too, actually.
The blasted heath. It is a foul night. And the rain is lashing the trees.
Ooh, I love it!
In my tree voice.
Enter Macbeth and Banquo.
My lord, this is a terrible night to be abroad, or anywhere else for that matter.
See, the skies are rent with thunderbolts. The clouds serve as shrouds to 1,000 devilish faces. The wind howls like the cries of maddened wolves, and it is raining human blood. What can it mean?
Michael Fish has got the weather forecast wrong again?
Of the storm. It's getting louder!
What a terrible noise!
I can't hear myself speak!
What did you say?
I don't know, I can't hear myself speak!
He's done it! Him! Up there!
Call to him!
You! Stupid producer! Turn the sound effects down! That's better!
That's better! That's better.
Now, we must seek shelter.
A few moments ago, I thought I noticed a hollow.
Hello!
There it is again.
Oh, good evening.
It's the infamous Lady Constance de Coverlet!
No, sorry, Ben. Not this time. I just like doing the voice.
Well, who are you now?
I am actually Hegarty, Queen of the Witches. Or Witch of the Queens, if you prefer. Oh, thank you, my weird sisters. Now sing!
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Like a jubil in the sky. Oh, what am I doing?
Macbeth! Macbeth!
You know my name?
No, it was just an inspired guess.
You evil creatures.
Yes! We can!
I hear that you can foretell the future!
Now, wait a moment, that's very good.
It's true, we can!
Then tell the future for me.
Hail, Macbeth!
Hail! Hail! Hail!
Not the weather! Give me a prediction!
Macbeth! Thou shalt be Thane of Glam.
And thou shalt be Thane of Cawdor.
Thane? Thane? What the hell's a Thane?
Don't you know?
No, it all sounds the Thane to me.
I deserve that, yes. And that's not all.
Thou shalt be King hereafter.
King!
And you, Banquo.
Yes?
You will not be king, yet you will be royal.
Huh?
Oh, I'm going to be queen! Banquo, the crown will sit upon your issue.
My what?
Issue! Issue!
All down!
Macbeth, let us get away from here! She is possessed by some wicked being!
No, I should be so lucky.
Scene two.
I've seen three.
A room in Macbeth's castle. Macbeth is telling Lady Macbeth about the strange prophecies of the weird sisters.
And that I should be king hereafter.
I'm terribly sorry, I didn't hear the first bit.
Yes, I know, the band played right across my line.
So, Macbeth shall be king and I queen. My lord, we must make sure these weird sisters spoke the truth. You cannot be king whilst Duncan still lives. And, by good fortune, he is a guest within our walls this very night. He will soon be retiring. I have an evil trick to play. Do you not think there should be a surprise awaiting him in his chamber?
Ah, yes. We'll put jelly and custard in his bed.
He has been on the throne too long.
Yes, I know. I'm dying for a wee.
He has what you want, Macbeth. There is something we should take from him. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes. I shall take his wife.
You mean his life.
Now you take what you want.
I believe you're scared. Take this, Macbeth.
Aha! Is this a dagger I see before me?
No.
Oh.
Now go and add your name to Scotland's throne.
Yes, I'm still desperate for a wee.
Go!
And so Macbeth crept across the courtyard to do what he had to do. Then he went to Duncan's bedchamber. Macbeth, dagger in hand, stood at Duncan's door.
Duncan, art thou within? Even as you slumber, shalt thou perish. Aye, for Macbeth shalt claim thy throne. Prepare to die, Duncan. Say now thy final words.
Shut up! I'm trying to get some sleep.
I'm coming in.
Oh, go away! I haven't got my pajama bottoms on.
I've come to take your life.
You've come to take my wife?
Well, that was my original plan.
You can't take her. No, she's mine. I've had her since she was a puppy. She's house-trained and everything.
Look, you deaf cretin, I've come to kill you. Die, you accursed crumbly. Take that!
Lady Macbeth was right. It wasn't a dagger. Anyway, 'tis done. Now a plan so that nobody will suspect it was me. First, a note on the body. It wasn't me. Signed, Macbeth.
With that, Macbeth rejoined his wife and they went to bed. But within seconds, a servant was shouting out the news.
They've gone to bed, everyone!
Then in rushed Duncan's manservant.
Oh, my lord! Awake! Awake! The king, my master, has given up the ghost. His lids are heavy and enclosed. His earthly coil has quit his gracious form. His soul has flown to Abraham's bosom. And the bird of light hath fled his aged frame.
You mean he's dead?
Oh, I don't know. I'll go and have a look.
This, Lady Macbeth began wailing.
There she blew!
However, Macbeth was not suspected. And when it was suggested that he should become king, the people clamored for it with one voice. His own. For months, Macbeth enjoyed the pleasures of the throne. It had a self-heating seat. But he was haunted by what the three weird sisters had said to Banquo.
The crown shall sit upon your issue.
My what?
Issue. All fall down.
It worried him.
I still don't find it funny.
We must put an end to Banquo and his son, Fleance. Macbeth, I have hired two murderers. That'll be them now.
Ah, you must be
exactly.
The...
Exactly.
Quite.
As you may know, I have a little...
Embarrassment?
Precisely. It's a rather...
Delicate situation.
Quite. You see, this man is rather, shall we say...
Inconvenient.
I thought perhaps he could...
Meet with a...
Shall we say...
Little accident.
My very word.
There is, of course, the question of...
Say no more.
Splendid. I'm sure we'll come to some... Arrangement.
Good. So you...
Exactly.
And he will...
Quite.
And it'll be...
Naturally.
Well, I think we...
Understand each other. Good.
What is it we've got to do again?
Absolutely no idea.
That night... Banquo was murdered, but his son Fleance escaped. When Macbeth heard this, he tore at his hair and stamped on his rabbit. But their consciences were beginning to plague them both. One night, the ghost of Banquo appeared at their window.
Oh, my lord!
God!
And then an evil creature climbed on their bed.
Yoo-hoo!
Haggerty, what do you want with me?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, now you're here, I may as well make use of you.
Yeah, I didn't expect cooperation.
Can you foresee everything?
Usually, but you surprised me just then. Macbeth, you shall be king until Barnum Wood shall come to Dunsinane. Nane, nane, nane.
This line has puzzled scholars, as Shakespeare usually finishes his scenes with a good joke. And we can only assume that Burnham Wood had some highly risible connotations to the Elizabethan audience. Some students think this whole line was a misprint and prefer to read, Macbeth, you shall be king until you're so desperate for a wee near a French river, you end up going insane! Scene 8.
Oh, now you're just boasting, aren't you?
Winter draws on.
Very nice they look too, Ben, actually.
Macbeth's stronghold.
Oh, let go!
Macbeth is standing on his bullocks, which is a good party trick if you can do it. Enter a messenger who runs into Macbeth and throws himself on his knee.
Oh, get off my knee!
Fire! Fire! I looked across the plain just now, and I thought Burnham Wood moved towards Dunsinane.
What's so funny about Burnham Wood?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said something about being so desperate for a wee near a French river, but you end up going insane. Oh, Burnham Wood? Oh, then I'm doomed.
Fire! I suspect it's just villagers dressed as trees.
Then I shall pack my trunk, leave my roots behind, and join the men dressed as Burnham Wood before anyone twigs me. I always wanted to branch out.
And so it was that Macbeth took his final bow.
You have been listening to I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again.
Again!
A selection of sketches and songs by Graham Garden and Bill Oddie. The feature of the voices of Anna Boydell, David Clark, Barnaby Eden Jones, K.V. Brown and Ben Perkins, in parts originally played by Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Phil Oddie. The music was arranged by Andrew Farrington, Andy Rushton, Catherine Thomas, and Paul Wood. The show was adapted, directed, and produced by Barnaby Eaton Jones, who also supplied additional written material. Sound effects were by Kim Jones, the sound was by Greg Wilson Cobb. The show was edited by Andy Rushton, and we give grateful thanks to Jem Roberts and Dirk Maggs. And for the last time this evening, you'll hear the stuffed ferret intone these words.
Oh, no! It's the end of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again! 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 Again!
One, two, three! My name is Angus Brune, and I always listen to I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again.